Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Can't hear it. Let me know when I'm up. Good morning. Wednesday morning. Good Wednesday morning. November, I keep saying January, November 21st, 2018. Lord's not making another one. Welcome to Pass the Salt. I couldn't hear the theme song today. So I said, if I was picking my nose or anything like that, I want to apologize because usually I think it's going through my headset. I'm waiting for it to end. I didn't hear it. So God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. Yes. Yes, of course. We're doing Thanksgiving morning. Of course we are. We're having a show tomorrow. What's wrong with you guys? We'll be right here bright and early like always. In fact, if I was going to take a day off, it'd be Friday. The day after, right? That'd be the one we're going to take off. But no, we're not taking it off any either. So if you're wondering, you're thinking about wrestling, you can do that. Tomorrow would be a good day for you to do that. But we are going to be here bright and early. Excited about the opportunity to be here. Hey, I want to thank everybody. David Arthur, his trip was funded yesterday. God bless you folks in the queue that stepped up for him. That was not a planned thing. I mean, it was planned somewhat. I told David I was going to mention that. But, so many of you out there graciously went online and gave to him. And my wife didn't understand this. Let me make a clarification. David called the pastor that the movie was about. This pastor whose son went through conversion therapy or whatever, and the movie was made about him. The pastor looks like a fool and all that. David Arthur hunted him down and called him, and that's where David's going to go this weekend. This is not just some pastor somewhere. It's the guy that's at the center of this. So I think I salute David for doing that. It was interesting. David said that pastor said he's heard from a lot of people, but hadn't heard from very many Christians. That's pretty typical, isn't it? Hadn't heard from very many Christians. So thanks all of you for stepping to the plate and helping David out on that one. Boy, I told you, we're doing a little bit of talking before we came in here today. Hey, Jared, somebody say something. I don't even feel like anybody's listening to me. In my own head. Okay, good. Somebody else say something.
Morning, Coach.
Okay,
morning.
Good.
Morning.
Good morning, Coach. God bless you.
Thanks. Without the introduction, I felt like I was just sitting here talking to myself. So I'm glad that you're all out there. And thank you for being out there. This is addicting, isn't it? I mean, it is addicting. I was just saying before we came on the air, I said, man, Lord, I wish I had a platform as large as Rush Limbaugh's. Not because I want to be Rush Limbaugh. Heaven forbid I would ever be Rush Limbaugh, but I would love to just lay that truth out there to make people think. We were saying before we went on, think about Rush Limbaugh and Hannity. And, you know, there are certain places they just will not go. They just won't go. And because they don't go there, most people never get there. And so Limbaugh, as I said before, he's just a color commentary. And he's giving you a play-by-play of everything that's going on. But he doesn't really give you, as Mark Trump would say, the data behind it. We never really understand why these things are happening. And I would say this. I don't know how many people out there watch this show, listen to this show. It's in the thousands, certainly. And you would have to admit, man, you're thinking again. You're starting to look at stuff and analyze stuff again. It's not anything that I say, anything that I bring to the table, other than I scratch that little itch in you that makes you say, yeah, that's something wrong there. Yeah, that's right. There's something wrong there. So that's what I want to try to do. Remember this. The Bible tells us that you shall know the truth. And the truth, if you know it, shall make you free. And we're getting a watered down version of it, even in our churches, particularly in our churches right now. And we got a battle ahead of us. Hey, don't forget, we're going back to Florida on December 9th through the 15th. We'd love to have you come and join us today. I've never done anything like that, Coach. I don't know what I would do. Well, it'd be good for you. And if you're interested in going down there with us, the 9th through the 15th, we're going to have a Don in New Jersey is looking for somebody to ride down with. So if you live up in that area, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, down that area where maybe you could meet Don on the way down there, he's looking for somebody to ride with him on that trip. So somebody, that just hit somebody really hard right there. You were thinking, I was going to go, but I don't want to go by myself. But you don't have to. So get a hold of us and we'll plug you in and get you down there, get you connected with Don to be able to do that. Golly, just so much today. Hey, Jared, let's jump back in there. Romans 1.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Larry.
On the way to Romans 1, you mentioned the number of people listening to the show and everything. You know, everybody out there listening, you know, David, the alphabet man, has a show of his own, comes on at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And it's this same format. Now, it's a little more of a lecture type thing, but he does open it up. It is interactive. And as someone who really appreciates the simplicity and the truth of what the Bible says, I tell you right now, what David brings forth out of Scripture is absolutely worth listening to and being tuned in for.
Amen on that. And it's only 30 minutes. He only does it for 30 minutes. And it's really, really good. Really, really good. 9 o'clock. The Alphabet Man Live comes up. Thanks, Larry. And by the way, I feel not bad. That's not the right word. I didn't realize some of you guys have YouTube channels. I didn't even know it. I mean, I knew some of it. So, Larry, you have a YouTube page? YouTube channel? Yes? No? Yes? Larry?
Yeah, it's all scrambled up and not real well organized, but I've got one. In fact, I've got four of them somehow. Over the years, I just kind of ended up with four channels, but I've got one main one.
Okay. Where would they find it, Larry?
Man, you search for Larry Richardson, but then there's about 200 Larry Richardsons.
Or make it easy for us here, Chief. Or maybe.
Let me go to pull a YouTube video off of it, and I'll post it in, and you can subscribe to it from that YouTube.
All right. I guess that'll work. And then Chad Estes has one. We all know about that. Chad's got a couple of them. His wife, Michelle, has a YouTube page. Bobby Lee has one. David Arthur has one. Who else out there has a YouTube page that we're not making people aware of? Mike Spaulding, Pastor Mike Spaulding, has a show he does every Monday night, doing the exact same thing that we're doing here, digging down into the truth, trying to expose the lies, dig down into the truth of the gospel. Pastor Mike Spaulding. Do you have a YouTube page, Pastor Mike? I know some of you guys maybe can't get on here and answer me. I understand that. But Pastor Mike Spaulding, come on in here if somebody does real quick. Let's cover this real quick. Larry's
got a hey, Coach.
Yeah.
If there's a way.
Go ahead, Chad.
Sarge, go ahead, buddy. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, maybe there would be a way for we can get a list of all the people that have.
Good, Serge. Listen, if you have a YouTube channel out there, send it to me, okay? All of you, send me the link, and I'll put it on a link, and I'll email it to everybody. All right? Because if you're anything like me, sometimes I'm looking for interesting things to watch. If they're all recorded, we can go there at any time. So, everybody, if you have a YouTube channel, send it to me, coach@coachdavelive.com. Just send me the link where we would find it. We'll get it out to everybody. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, I was just going to say, I was just going to kind of read off the list that I got of everybody. And generally, what I do is I look through who subscribes to me. And if they have a channel, I kind of go and subscribe to them because, I don't know if they have a channel.
Yeah.
Some people just create a channel just so they can subscribe to you, but they don't have any content. So. We need to be pushing. If you have a channel, let's push some content out there. Because if you're not saying nothing, the world is. So let's get
that's
out.
That's right.
There.
Okay. So now that you said that, Chad, everybody heard me. Coach@coachdavelive.com. Say, yeah, Coach, I got a YouTube channel. here it is, and then we'll push it out to everybody so we can see that. But in the meantime, I thought about that because Bobby Lee did a short little video. He sent to me yesterday. I said, yes, this is the kind of stuff we have to do. Now, he only has 17 views. Well, we can help him get more views as we understand he has a channel. We begin to populate it. 3 minutes. Bobby just made this driving down the road. Go ahead, Jared. Play Bobby here.
Hey, I want you to think and use your brain for just one hot minute. How did we go from the strong men and women of the industrial age and the strong farming families nationwide all across this land where you actually went out and worked all day and in the evening and sometimes at night to a nation to where the only pretty much the only physical activity that you get is going and working out in a gym? All right, now think. All right. All throughout history, we were strong men and women. Really didn't matter what country that you came from or what belief system that you had or et cetera, et cetera. The point is strong men and women physically primarily. And now we've become such a dumbed down blob of a population of people and the mass acceptance of homosexuality. All right. How does that happen? Do you think that magically we just woke up in the decade and the year that we're living in, 2018, moving into 2019, to where we are so dumbed down with an inability to think that we think male-to-male butt sex is the evolution of humanity? No. That is mass brainwashing of a population to where the human mind is so easily controlled that you can set in front of screens all day long and be told what's acceptable, what's socially acceptable, and what's no longer taboo. You go to the mass public brainwashing systems called behavioral control centers, called public schools, to where gay pride flags, you're indoctrinated with the acceptance of homosexuality and gay pride flags from kindergarten, pre-kindergarten moving forward. All right, that's how this happens. You get the human mind at a young age and you take it, destroy it, mold it into whatever you want. While the older people start moving forward and dying off, and then you have a new population of people of Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, so homosexuality is mass brainwashing, and we have allowed ourselves to be totally mind controlled day in and day out from watching garbage, be it The View, and allowing our kids to go to public control systems and be indoctrinated by teachers that were behaving in the most vile ways just last year in college. Fraternities, sororities, sorority girls doing everybody, and now they're teaching your kids that butt sex is okay. Every day's a training day. What have you done to train yourself today?
Amen, Bobby. Amen, Bobby. Now, listen, I'm going to say this again. Don't put your YouTube, or you can. If you put it in the chat, I'm not going to get it, okay? I'm not going to get it. If you want your YouTube channel to be part of what we send out, you're going to have to email me the link. Don't put it in the chat, okay? I see them in the chat. I'm not being critical. I know the way my brain works. I don't even know how to get back into this chat once the show's over. So if you want me to publish it, do it. Bobby was so right, right? These sorority girls that I see said were out doing everybody a year. 4 months before that, all of a sudden they're in teachers in the classroom. Oh, man. That is so good, Bobby. Listen, I want to camp on something that we talked about yesterday briefly because you know what? You guys so inspire me. You guys make me think. And Jared laughed because when I came down, I said, I got a lot of stuff on the plate today. And of course, I do a prep sheet that I send to Jared every morning. Sometimes, you know, stuff I didn't get to the day before, but I always send him a prep list. And Jared said, yeah, Jared kind of laughed because he looked at everything that I have there. But in my mind, it all goes together. And we really hit on something yesterday. And I want to kind of double back on it because I believe it's important. You are not a physical creation. You are a physical creation. You are a body. We all are a body. We all are. But we're not a body. We are three parts. This is Christianity 101, by the way. I have a show people that one. Genesis 3, God breathed a formed man out of dust of the earth. There's your body. He breathed into him the breath of life. There's the spirit. And man became a living soul. There's the three parts. Your body, your spirit, and your soul. The spirit's what brings life. Your soul is who you are, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Right? And so being in this natural body, because Adam fell, all of us now are being controlled. The average man that you run into is a natural man, meaning flesh and blood, play. What he is, the natural man. All of us are. And unfortunately, housed inside this body of clay, remember, man, you're dust, and to dust you shall return. Inside this body of clay, it's a car. It's nothing more than a vehicle whereby you move around in this physical world. We are spirit beings, and we possess a soul. And where we came from, I don't know, but the Bible tells us this, that before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb. So in other words, there's something about us that comes from someplace. We existed someplace. I don't want to get into whether that's reincarnation, all that stuff. But before he put us in the womb, there was a part of us that he was able to know. I don't know what that really means. I really don't. But I know that means that he is, and the only way that we get into the earth is through a body. The only way you get in. The only way Jesus got here. He came through a man, birthed into a body of a man. That's why demons, which are disembodied spirits, I believe, are trying to get in and operate through men, through women. And so the battle that we're fighting is simple, so very simple. Are you totally, completely a natural man, controlled by your natural urges? Or are you a spiritual man controlled by your spirit? The ability of the Holy Spirit, when you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes in you and trades that old dead man spirit for the Holy Spirit. An exchange takes place. In fact, to the point where the scripture says that you're born again. You must be born again. Born from on high. The Spirit of God, the living God, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives within me. That spirit of Christ now lives within me, okay? In the life that I live by the great Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So unless you are born again of the Spirit of God, remember you are a spirit, you possess a soul. Unless you are born again of the Spirit of God, you have a natural spirit. You have a manly, earthly spirit. You have no power or control over your body. You have none. Not really. Before you're born again, man, I was listening to a video yesterday. This is so good. Talked about some of the people, these people in high places, the bushes, and they don't have any empathy. For some reason, some way, it was almost like they were born without the ability to have empathy. And people who climb to high places in government, they have that same characteristic, no empathy. Empathy meaning I feel sorry for someone. How can we see what's going on in America from the leadership and they don't feel sorry? Now, it seems to me that Donald Trump has some empathy. Bill Clinton said he felt your pain, but I don't think he did. I think it was narcissistic. All right? By the way, did you hear last night? This is fascinating. You guys might want to do this. I'm sorry, I'm going train of consciousness here. Hagman and Hagman had on Paula White last night. The second half hour of Hagman and Hagman. Paula White, the advisor to President Donald Trump. And I thought, are you kidding me, Doug and Joe? How the mighty have fallen. But I mean, it was fascinating. I didn't know this. I'm going somewhere. Paula White's had about a 20-year relationship with Donald Trump. They go way back. And I didn't know that till I thought Donald Trump became president and brought Paula White in. There's a real history there with Paula White and Donald Trump, the point I'm trying to make. And so that would be an interesting listen to you. The second half hour of Hagman and Hagman, she comes on. And the point being, as I'm trying to get to here, Unless you are born again of the Spirit of God, you have no power over your flesh. None. I mean, you do, but you don't exercise. So when Jesus comes inside you and you've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live, the Bible teaches us this, that there is no temptation that comes upon you. I think it's in Corinthians. Anybody know where that is? Because I like people to be able to see, rather than me just saying something, I like them to be able to see it for themselves. Sorry, Jared, there is no temptation. I think it's 1 Corinthians. There's no temptation that has come upon me, but that was common to man. Let's see, Jared, I'm trying to find that for me here real quick. I think it's important for us to see it. There it is, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. 1 Corinthians 10. Stay with me, please. It's critical to some people who don't understand this. Jared, let's start at 1. Let's start at 1 real quickly. I'm sorry. Because this is Paul talking about the natural man. Spiritual man. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea and all ate the same spiritual meat and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Boy, I could preach right there. Man, we're being overthrown in the wilderness, are we? Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lust. Jared, quickly, Webster's lusted to lust. Important. Come on, words mean things. Lust. Longing, desiring, eagerness to possess of joy and lust again. Concupiscence. Carnal appetite. Lust is carnal. You understand that? To lust is carnal. Carnal. Carnal meaning what, Jared? What's carnal? I know what it is. Trying to prove it to you. Carnal is what? Carnal is pertaining to the flesh. Fleshly, sensual, opposed to spiritual. We have two natures. We have a spiritual nature and we have a carnal nature. In the carnal mind, it says there is enmity against God. Okay? So we see that we have this battle, the struggle that's going on. Go back to Corinthians then, Jared. I didn't know I was going to do this. neither these things which were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Talking about our fathers. Neither be you idolatries, as were some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000 died in one day from fornication. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also were tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Well, I preach there too. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all of these things that he just talked about, they're an example. And they're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are now come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Watch. Natural. Okay. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. You can get born again and still have temptation. Okay. In fact, the born-again man, the non-born-again man, just reacts off temptation. He just reacts off his flesh. It's all about feeding your flesh. That's all it's about. There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not suffer. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. In other words, there's no temptation that comes upon you. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, no temptation that comes upon you that you cannot say no to. I don't care what it is. If it's pornography, you walk away from the computer. You bust the thing if you have to. Break the computer. If it's overeating, push yourself back from the table. There's no temptation. No temptation. None. None. I went last night, you know, I've been on this exercise kick. I went over to our grandchildren yesterday. And after we were done eating, my daughter Maggie brings out this beautiful cheesecake. I'm thinking, oh man. Wow, boy, did that temptation hit me. And I'm watching Michelle's eating a piece of it. No, she wasn't. Michelle didn't eat. Isaiah was eating one. Maggie was eating one. The two little girls were eating one. Whew! So I ate one. Now, I could have not eaten one. I made the conscious decision to eat that. I'm born again man. I have the power to say no to that. And I made the conscious decision to say yes to that. I want to eat that. That's true of all of our physical appetites, folks. I don't care whether it be sexual appetites whether it be a physical appetites, whether it be greed, whether it be money, whatever it is, we have the ability to say no to all of those things. That's what the born again experience is all about. There hath no tempt. I'm sorry, Jared, stay right back there a second. There's no temptation, none that has taken you that such as this. Every man deals with them. If they're common to man. But folks, you're not no longer a natural man. God's faithful. He will not permit you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Okay, so let's say this. I don't know. I don't. Let's say you're a whoremonger and you're born with this propensity to sleep with anything that walks. You can stop that. But you probably can't stop it unless you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can say no to that. And if you remember, maybe we're going to have to go on another fast here, because I was thinking about this yesterday. Maybe some of us need to jumpstart our natural, our physical, our spiritual man again. Maybe we need to do that, to strengthen our spiritual man to be able to say no to some of these temptations that we're all dealing with. So when you are not born again, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, the natural man. The non-born again man has no power. Okay? I don't care who you are. Everything you do in your life is a choice. Everything you do. Well, yeah, everything, that's a reaction to something. Everything you do, you will choose how you're going to react. Every one of them. So therefore, if we have the ability to choose how we are going to react, then all sin becomes a choice. And if all sin becomes a choice, then you have the ability to choose not to do it. Are you guys following me there? Is this making sense? So if you are born, let's say you are born homosexual, well, be celibate. The what? Yeah, be celibate. You can't stop those urges. Be celibate. Make a decision. Well, I can't over. Yes, you can. Scripture just says that you can. That you can do that. You say, boy, coach, I got to get my weight under control. Okay, we'll get your weight under control. What do you mean you can't do it? What do you mean? You mean you just can't deny yourself food? Is that what you're saying? You can't do that? Well, why can't you do that? We just read that there's no temptations come upon you. God's faithful to give you a way out. Can't stop doing some of this stuff. See, when we reach the point where we say, have you ever seen one of those guys who's lost about 200 pounds? And you look at him and say, holy smoke, what happened to you? And all of us, our whole life, thought he could never lose weight. He's just a big old fatty. He could never lose weight. And then something happens and he loses weight, loses 200 pounds. Golly, I just thought you were born fat. I thought you were born that way. And so one of the things, one of the powers that we're not making sure the people in the world understand, you're not born that way. You're born into sin. You're born into it. But when you're born again, you're born out of it. And because, hey, Coach. Yeah.
Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. God says, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. In some translations, it says that he will rent it from us, which means violently rip it out of us. And I will give you an heart of flesh. Mm-hmm. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Because the three types of man, natural man, yeah, you have no power. Spirit man, you have all the power. Carnal man, you have the power and you still deny it.
Amen.
That's it. That's it. Three types of men.
Let's do that again. Three types of men, the natural man, right?
Yeah, natural man. He knows not things of the spirit. We can't blame him for acting natural and doing what he does because he knows not the things of the spirit. Then there's the spirit man. You have the power and you exercise that power. And then there's the carnal man. you have the power and you deny the power.
So the battle that goes in on inside each one of us is which one of those three guys is going to be the boss, right? Amen. To the natural man, the guy's just going to act natural, right? So he's really just waiting to be told. He's just waiting to be told, no more French fries. He's just waiting to be told that. He'll just follow whatever, right? And then the spirit man, David, that is so good. And the carnal man's going to always want to be fed. Now, which one of those guys is going to be in control? I say, born again spirit, the spiritual man is the one that comes in charge. And so this whole idea of being born again, we think it's all about going to heaven, and it is. But it's about power here and now. No temptation has come upon you, but that which is common to man, none. God's faithful, and he'll not allow you to be tempted. So, therefore, the scripture says somewhere, I wasn't ready to do this morning. Somebody has pulled this out of me. You just don't want to say no to it.
Hey, Coach.
The carnal man doesn't want to give up. Yeah, Paul.
One thing I learned at ORU, one of the good things I learned at ORU, is they talked about spirit, mind, and body. You have a spirit, you have a mind, and you have a body.
Yeah.
But what our society does, they put body, mind, and then spirit is down at the end.
Yes,
so
sir.
That's really how we do that. And this, I just want to say, this is excellent teaching.
Yes, awesome. Sir. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for leasing the Holy Spirit, because I tell you what, we all need this.
We don't get this. We do it. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, just going along with your spirit talk here, which is really, really good. Could you maybe do all of us a favor and put up on the screen John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16, and maybe kind of explain that just a little bit?
Sure. Jared's doing that right now. John what, Matt?
14.
Okay.
John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16.
Mm.
And maybe kind of explain your thoughts on that a little bit.
All right, buddy.
This is something that 10 years ago, I made a New Year's resolution to love God more. That was it. Just, instead of trying to lose weight and this and that and everything else, I just made a resolution that I was going to try to love the Lord Jesus Christ more and more every day, more than I did last year. Just increase that as much as I could. And when I read 14 and 15, I probably take a little bit of a different take on it than some people do. But maybe you could just explain that. I'm going to hang up. Go ahead and explain that if you want, Dave.
Well, Matt, you explain it for what you see it as. It says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me, keep my commandments. He hung up. I go farther than that. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world means the lost, the natural man. They can't receive it. Because it seeth him not, knoweth him not. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Wow! Wow! Go back up to 14 and 15 then, Jared. And if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And if you love me, keep my commandment. So Matt's working back. I'm trying to explain what Matt's trying to get me to explain. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, explaining that, we go into 16. 16 is where the real, and I probably didn't say that correct, but 16 is where the real answer is. When you talked a while ago, Dave, about, you were born again and saved at a Billy Graham.
11 years old. Yep. Billy Graham, 1963. Yeah. Yep.
And then the way I look at it, I was born again and saved quite a few years ago, and it kind of lay dormant within me.
Yeah.
Dormant. I mean, it just lay dormant there until I started loving the Lord God and until I started practicing his commands. If ye love me, keep my commands, and then I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. It's like the things go together. All the things that you and David were just talking about are fantastic things, and of the spirit and of the flesh and all that. But when we, the answer to me is in following God's commandments and loving the Lord. When we really love the Lord, we follow his commands, and then he says, I will send you the Holy Spirit to be your assistance, to help you do all these things. What I found myself in just the last month, Dave, I've seen things change in my life as I've really gotten more and more committed to loving Jesus Christ. I've been trying to do that more and more for the last 10 years, like I said. But for some reason in the last month, something has happened in me because of this love for God that has totally changed my life. And like I said, it's the dormancy that this thing lays there until we realize, until we put into practice. And the practice and the practice and the practice is getting to be more and more for me. And the more I practice, the more I realize that Jesus is saying, yeah, here he is. He's going to help you. And I'm going to tell you what, he has just done remarkable things in my life.
Bless you, Matt. Folks, you just, I just think about my beautiful little wife I love with my whole heart. I express my love towards her by doing, by pleasing her. I don't say, honey, I love you, and then go all weekend to the casino, chase around hookers. I love her, and I do everything I can. Because I love her, I do everything I can to honor her, follow her, do whatever I can for her.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, go ahead.
Romans 13:10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, and the scripture tells us plainly, what is love? Love is the fulfilling of the law. So Jesus says, if you love me, you'll fulfill the law. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. If you love me, you're going to do what I said to do. You're going to. And what did he say to do? He said, go and sin no more.
Amen. Oh, amen.
It's so simple.
It is simple. But see, that again, not the message of the modern church, is it? See, the message, now we have to be careful because this is such a fine line. Legalism is such a fine line, right?
But yet, hey, Coach.
There's an element of legalism that is so accurate. Yeah, George.
Hey, just real quick, I was going to say, you know, Coach, I've gotten to know you pretty well, just like I know a lot of the guys on the queue, and if I wanted something from you, Coach, I just simply have to ask you for it, right? And if it's a reasonable thing I'm asking for, you'll probably grant me my request. Well, I think it's the same way with God. I know there's times where we all feel dry and we just, you know, we don't really feel like doing the right thing. But, you know, when we ask God to put in us his desires, his heart, his passions, I'm continually amazed at how he always grants that. I think many times he's just waiting for us to ask him to put those things inside of us.
Created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. That was David's prayer to create in me a clean heart. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't say wash my old heart. It says create in me a clean heart and renew within me the right spirit. That's Psalm 51:10. Create in me, Lord, boy, oh boy, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, well, look, hey, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Does that mean he can't? Does that mean the Holy Spirit can?
Amen.
Huh? Wow.
You know what, Coach? I wanted to just clarify what I said is so easy. It's not so. I'm not saying it's not. It's so easy to not sin.
Simple.
You know? Yeah. Because and I'm not saying that the spirit man can't tread into those carnal waters. But what the word says is if you practice such things. So if we're not practicing those things that we're not supposed to be doing, we remain spirit men. But once we start practicing them, we become carnal men.
Let me open this up for some questions. I'm kind of wonk. I don't even know how I got here, but I'm going to keep going here. Yeah.
I think yesterday or the day before yesterday, you said it's like a spiritual buffet, right? You're born into the buffet. The spirit man, he now has access to the spiritual buffet. The natural man doesn't even have access, right? He's not even in the door. He doesn't have a reservation. But we now, as Christians, we have a reservation into the spirit, the restaurant that is Christ, right? That is the spiritual things. And what we do, though, is we go into the door and we sit in the lobby and we look at the buffet. We think about the buffet. We talk about the buffet. Man, that ice cream looks really good. I wonder what it tastes like. But you got to eat it. You got to eat the spiritual food, and then the other stuff isn't as good.
Isn't as appealing to it, right? Isn't it? Jesus said, I have bread that you know not of, right? So the battle that we have, all of us are dealing with, is this: which one are we going to feed? Are we going to feed our spirit man, or are we going to feed, as David would say, our carnal man? Now, carnal man is really a better term, because natural man, that's the body, that's what you were born with, your natural man. But the problem that most of us are dealing with, all of us are dealing with, the sin of the carnal man. That always we have the choice: am I going to feed my spirit man, or am I going to feed my carnal man? And I hate to tell you this, you can't feed them both. You cannot feed them both. And I learned an adage several years ago: whatever you feed grows stronger. Whatever you starve dies. That's such a powerful thing to know. And so as you're doing your daily walk, you're dealing with, maybe you're struggling with porn. Maybe you're struggling with the amount of food that you eat. Maybe you're struggling with anger. Maybe a lot of things that carnal man is constantly bringing up. Well, the carnal man is winning because you have not strengthened your spiritual man. And it's not that you strengthen your spiritual man. It's that through the exercise of your spiritual man, you conquer the carnal man. The carnal man doesn't go away. He eventually dies. You die. You kill that man. You've been born again, but yet that carnal man still... it's in all of us, guys. Girls, it's in all of us. This carnal man. You starve it to death. You starve it to death. That's why it tells us, if you stop smoking cigarettes and you go back 7 years, 5 years, 2 years, you start smoking them again, well, we know that in alcoholism, you go back and you bring life back to that carnal man. Huh? You're bringing a resurrection to that carnal man. Are you kidding me? That's the kind of stuff that we're dealing with that we really don't have. Because, folks, the church spends so much time appealing to the carnal man. Because the church is appealing to the carnal man, we don't recognize the spiritual. We don't recognize that it's better to give than it is to receive. We go to church to receive. Somebody say amen. We go to church to receive. We don't go to church to give. We go to receive.
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Even in the garden, Jesus, his prayer before they came and captured him, his final prayer was, Father, is there any way this cup can pass from me?
Yes, sir.
Not my will, but thy will be done. He was showing how he was human too, and he had to deny his flesh and obey his Father's will.
To the very end, Denny. To the very end. And what did he say? Nevertheless, thy will be done. Nevertheless, this ain't what I want to do. Can I tell you the truth? I want to stick my face in that buffet. I want to go to Ryan's Steakhouse, and I want to eat every stinking thing they got. That's what my carnal, natural man wants to do. That's what I want to do. But I'm not going to. So again, as trivial as it might seem, last night eating that piece of cheesecake, I realized as I was eating it, it was a choice. And I realized that clicking on naked women on the computer, that's a choice. Nobody's making me do that. Nobody's making me do that. Nobody's making me eat too much. Nobody's making me become obsessed. I mean, right? Come on with me. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, this is Randy Lunsford in Oklahoma.
Hey, Randy. How you doing, man? Hey.
Good to hear you, Randy. I've been I have been hooked up. You guys, I want to just tell everyone that's involved what you have done in my life. I've been writing. God's been dealing with me for a long time on many things. And you can ask George, my brother George Lewis. I preach to him all the time. He just has to tell me to be quiet. But everyone here is speaking exactly what God is doing in the church, the real church. He's teaching us how to divide the difference between the soul and the spirit. Hebrews 4:12. What does the word of God do? It divides the soul and the spirit. We are when we become born again in First John 1:8, we become God's DNA. Our spirit man is stamped with him, his DNA. Amen. It's 1 John 3:9. Okay, and 1 John 1:8, Coach, it's John says that if we don't confess that we are a sinner, we're a liar. We all sin. We're just sinners. But in the same letter, chapter 3, he says, when we're born of God, we cannot sin. We cannot sin. Our perfect spirit man now is him. It's his picture of God, and he is perfect. He will be perfect until we are in heaven for eternity. He is going to be perfect. So that's what John is teaching us. We cannot sin, but in the soul, in the realm of the soul, that is all about what I want to do, what my will is, my agenda, my life, me, and the Father. Here's what he's trying to show us: when we walk by the Spirit, we aren't doing our will; we're doing His will.
Amen.
And that's the difference. That's walking in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. All of that operates and by the spirit man and not the natural man.
Randy, we're not taught in our churches what happens to us when we're born again. The power
that is right. Yes, exactly. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Coach, for letting me get in on this.
I appreciate you being here. Jared, let's stay there in 1 John 3. Let's go to 1 John 3:1. Go ahead, Larry.
We're not taught about what happens to us when we're born again, because the gospel that is being preached doesn't have enough information to tell you how to be born again.
It doesn't.
So look at this. This is 1 John 3, okay? This is why I love this show. Because I would have never gone to 1 John 3 if Randy hadn't talked to me, right? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You're a son of God. Wow. Therefore, the world does not know us, doesn't understand it. Why? Because it doesn't know him. The world doesn't know him. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And by the way, he's in us. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself. Look, the Holy Spirit doesn't purify you. You purify yourself. Every man that had this hope in him cleans himself up, even or because Christ is pure. So every man that has him in you, you're going to clean yourself up because Christ is in you and Christ is pure and he ain't hanging around no slum. So whoever committed sin breaks the law. For sin is the breaking of the law. And you know that he was manifest. Why? Manifest means appeared. And for you know that he appeared to take away our sins. Why? Because in him is no sin. If Jesus had sinned when he died on the cross, he would have been dying for his own sin. For the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life. The soul that sins, it shall die. If Christ had sinned, his death on the cross would be full payment for his own sin. It would not have covered my sin. It only covered my sin because he didn't have any sin. We know that he was manifest to take away our sins because why? He was sinless. So whoever abideth in him doesn't sin. And whoever sinneth has not seen him, neither knows him. little children, let no man deceive you. Why does he call them little children? Because they're new babes in the faith. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does the right thing is righteous. He who doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, the Father, is righteous. Watch this. And he that committeth sin is of the devil, that carnal nature. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Watch this. And for this purpose, God showed up to destroy the power of the devil and the works of the devil in your life. Why did God show up? So you could quit doing all that crazy stuff you've been doing. See, you don't quit doing all that crazy stuff because you became a Christian. You quit doing all that kind of stuff because you are a Christian. And so you're going to quit doing it. It's not now, well, I'm a Christian now. I can't drink. I can't smoke. I can't do any of this. No. No, you see, when I remember when I was coaching to Christian school, I said this before, people were always saying to the boys, well, act like Christians. No. Don't act like Christians. Like vitamins. Be one. Be a Christian. For the purpose, the Son of God is manifested, he would destroy the works of the devil. And whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on, Seth, just a second. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, does not practice sin is the from the Greek instead of commit.
Practice. Better, Larry. Practice.
Because when you practice something, you're doing it again and again to get better at it.
That's right.
Living your life and you slip up and you goof and you momentarily get into a bad area or something, you're not practicing sin. You're doing something that you go and you ask forgiveness for.
There you go. That's good.
But when you practice it, you're aiming to get better.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's very good, Larry. That's very, very good. Okay, now hang on here. Stay with this. Verse 10. In this, in what? In the fact that we don't commit sin. In this, the children of God become obvious. And the children of the devil. There it is. You can tell the difference. Just looking at him. What? Because whoever does righteousness, so whosoever doeth not righteousness, Paul Ryan, is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Oh, man, this goes on and on and on and on and on. So we don't understand that we have been freed from sin. Then not only did Jesus cover our sins, but he freed us from sin. And I get the religious folks really, really upset. I haven't said it in a while. When I said, I don't know if I sinned yesterday. I don't know if I did. In fact, I'm going to try to go all day today and not sin not one time.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Something just came to me. I don't know if this is the Lord or not, but that's why the armor of God is so important. Because it covers vital areas pertaining to our walk. Mm-hmm. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel.
Loins girded with truth, yeah. Right? Right?
Right.
Protected everywhere we're going, right? Everywhere we're going. And so there are some, listen right now. You may be born again, but you're still pretty much controlled by the carnal man. Pretty much are. It's a constant battle. But the only way that you win victory over that carnal man is you kill him. He just killed it. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. Just as easy as eating that piece of cheesecake. Sorry, I ain't going to do it. Because you know what happened to me last night when I ate that piece of cheesecake? I immediately wanted another one. But I was able to say no to that one. But I wanted one. So we've got to become aware that if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you have the power now to say no to sin. It's critical that we do it. Not in a religious way. Larry, you so nailed it. Practice it. Practicing sin. Not falling into sin. Not slipping into sin. To live a sinful lifestyle. And can I tell you, one of the really, really big sins that we don't, we talk about homosexuality and fornication. We talk about all that. You know, one of the worst things is covetous. And so much of our Christian walk is wanting what others have. Oh, my, 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 my. In fact, you look at our whole nation. It's built on that, didn't it? Isn't it? Isn't our whole, isn't the welfare system built on covetousness? Isn't the stock market built on covetousness? Isn't the migrants coming across the border built on covetousness? Our whole system at the root of our whole spiritual, physical existence is our desire and our love for ourselves. Somebody come on in here. I only got 4 minutes left.
Hey, Coach.
Holy smoke, where's the time? But yes.
I don't know if this ties in kind of what, I don't know if this does or not, but
just say it.
Last night, I have a second job. I work at a famous store, starts with a W, ends with a T. But I was working, and I really use that time a lot of times to speak with the Lord and talk with God. So a lot of times I'm talking to myself, and people think I'm weird sometimes, but I just thought about something because I was listening to, they had Christmas music playing. And I was thinking, wait a minute, Thanksgiving is not even here yet. And we're playing Christmas music. And then just something came to me and it just really says, this is the spirit of our nation. We're not a thankful nation for thankful for what we have.
True.
And thankful for the things of God.
Yeah. Just skip Thanksgiving, huh? Let's just skip that one.
Skip it. And, you know, something the Lord really dealt with me about is to be grateful and thankful for what we have. And I think that's where a lot of the problem is that we're coveting things of other people and other things because we don't really take stock and say thankful for what we have and what we do have, you know. And I think that's where this nation is because we go right into Christmas. It's all about me, 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 give me, give me, give me.
Yeah.
And there's no time to ponder and reflect on the thankfulness and the gratefulness that we have. And that's why our nation's where we are. I think a lot of it has to do with that.
Paul, you know, when we were down in Panama City, I have it on video, actually. You know, I think Mark Trump was in the car. I can't remember who all was in the car, but we stopped by to talk to some of this mother and this daughter. It looked like they were walking down the street together. And so I put them on film and I said, you know, golly, you guys stay here the whole time. They start telling us a story and everything. And at the end of it, I felt prompted to give them some money. I reached in my wallet and I pulled out $50 bill. And I said, here, honey, go buy yourself a meal. Have a meal on me. Something like that. I can't remember. She said, oh, no, we don't need it. That's okay. Thank you. We don't need it. I said, no, go ahead and take it. She goes, guys, you guys go have a meal. Have a good evening. And she said, thank you. And she started walking down the street. And as we pulled away, these guys will attest to this. As we pulled away, she was covering her eyes, sobbing. And I thought, man, sorry to use that word. I should have given her $1,000. To think that I have the ability with dollars to bring that type of joy into the heart of another person, and why don't I do it? I'm thinking about me. If I give this 50, where's the next 50? What a way to live, huh? What a way to live. And don't ever forget that that's that carnal man that's at work inside of you, and that beast does not die easily. But the promise is he will die, that you will crucify that man, that you will kill and deny the flesh, that you will get victory over that fleshly man. And as you get victory over that fleshly man, the Spirit of God is going to become more apparent, more powerful in your life and in everything you do. The natural man receives not the things of the spirit. But as our takeaway today, as David Arthur said, what? Spirit man, natural man, and carnal man. And that battle that's going on inside all of every one of us is the battle between the spirit man and the carnal man.
Hey,
Christ has assured us that we have victory over that thing. Yeah, Larry.
I just realized that we are all vessels. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. And a vessel can only hold so much. The more of the carnal that you allow to remain in your vessel, the less of the spirit you will have to operate under.
Boy, I don't get me going on that one. That's a whole nother one. Remember, David Arthur's coming up at 9 o'clock, same bat time, same bat channel. Hey, there's victory in Jesus right here, right now, over the things, those sins and those weights that so easily beset us. Romans or Hebrews 12. Let us cast off those sins that so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before. God bless you. See you tomorrow morning, Thanksgiving morning, bat time. We'll be here.